Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today we're going to talk with a woman who, along with her partner, make money inspecting RVs. She also offers advice to anyone buying an RV as to why an inspection is essential before signing any documents. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started in the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For a monthly subscription fee, people can participate in two online webinars every week to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, where to call home, and how to find a job or start a mobile business. All online events will be recorded for watching anytime. Subscribers can also join an open question and answer session each month. For more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. Lisa Sarver works with her partner Jason Carletti inspecting RVs in Tampa, Florida. Originally, she worked as a traveling medical technician, but while Jason was looking for something to do, he stumbled upon an ad about becoming an RV inspector. Initially, he became a level 2 inspector and started My RV Inspection, which he ran while Lisa worked on her surgical assignment. When that job ended, Lisa became a level 2 inspector herself, and today, inspecting RVs is their only source of income. She describes the training as involving long hours with lots of study because of its intensive nature. The course combines a lot of instruction and hands-on labs within a week or two. However, Lisa said it was very achievable for both of them. They strategically located their business near Lazy Days, one of the largest RV dealerships in the nation, which is also located within a few miles of several other very large dealerships. As a result, they've done more than 450 inspections during the past 3 years. Their goal was to travel the nation and support themselves by doing RV inspections, but the volume of business they have keeps them tied to Central Florida at the moment. In fact, there are up to 30 inspectors in that region during the winter months, and yet Lisa and Jason still remain busy doing inspections. Lisa offered some great advice about scoping out locations to set up shop, even on a temporary basis. If everyone is focused on a major metropolitan area of a state, then catering to people living in areas an hour or two away really opens the door for more opportunities. Lisa describes what goes on during a typical inspection, how long they take, and how much money they can earn. She also describes what type of advertising and promotion work for them and outlines some of the expenses they incur throughout the year. To tell us more about this viable business opportunity, please welcome Lisa Sarver from My RV Inspection to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Lisa. I appreciate it. Tell us about yourself and where you're doing your business.
Well, thanks. It's our pleasure, and thanks for the invitation. I currently work with my honey, Jason Carletti, in Tampa, Florida, and we run our own inspection business called My RV Inspection, and it's our main source of income, so we do it all year long.
Okay.
I was in healthcare and was like a traveling nurse, surgical technologist, actually. And we needed something for Jason to do. And I happened upon the NRVIA ad on Facebook, and we jumped in full feet first. Jason took both week one and week two and immediately started his business. And he was called to the FEMA disaster after Hurricane Irma down in the Keys. And so I helped him down in the Keys while I was still working in Florida as a surgical technologist on a travel assignment.
Okay.
And once that assignment ended, it afforded us the ability for me to go to level one and level two. So Jason went in, graduated in August, got certified in August.
August of 2017. Okay.
And then in January of 2018, I got certified.
Okay. So you both went to class, but at different times.
Yes, but we both went together. He went with me in January when it was 8 degrees. I went with him in July and August when it was 108 degrees.
And was this all at the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas?
Yes. Jason's class was prior to either of the red buildings being built. And my class actually was the first one at the Little Red Schoolhouse.
Oh.
And we have gone back for our registered tech training at Big Red.
Okay, very good. So you're well familiar with the campus and the facility.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. We just love it out there. It's a wonderful facility.
It is. It's really nice. Very modern, as a matter of fact. And I love the opportunity for people to get their hands dirty by working on the equipment in the labs themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why did you decide to become an inspector?
I had been looking for reasons to get out of healthcare. And like I said, once we bought our RV and hit the road, we knew Jason was going to be fixing some things. And so it was a natural flow for us. So that is one of my main reasons, so that I could get out of healthcare. And I'm happy to report that I have not had a hospital assignment in a year and a half.
So you make enough money as an inspector that you don't have to work another job?
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. So you started your inspections immediately after you were done with training?
That's correct. In Jason's case, he was certified, like I said, beginning of August 2017. And by the end of September, he was in the Florida Keys with Stephanie and a couple other handpicked people to inspect the hundreds of units that they had down there. So his experience grew rapidly over the course of 3 to 4 months.
And that was part of the Federal Emergency Management Agency's disaster response, where they buy a bunch of RVs and the inspectors come in and make sure that they are suitable for people who have had their homes destroyed to live in.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. And what did you like most about the training that you received?
I love the hands-on portion. That is huge. I've always been that type of learner, and I think I can say the same thing for Jason. I loved it because it was basic enough for me as a person without very much skill level in electricity and refrigeration that I was able to understand the material and be able to pass the test with flying colors. The way that Mr. Cooper does his maintenance course and really gives you stories and how you can learn by remembering stories he tells, as well as Howard doing such a great job at pointing out the risk management and the different situations. It's the hands-on in person is really, really a huge value.
Well, they throw a lot of stuff at you at once. I mean, it's intensive training because they put everything together in 1 or 2 weeks. And did you find that to be intimidating in any way?
I think anybody who would go to class to cover as much information as they do finds it intimidating. I was intimidated, but I felt well prepared. And it also encouraged me to learn more, because knowing the time constraints, you can only learn so much in those 1 or 2 weeks. So it encouraged me to continue on with CEUs and then study for my registered tech class as well.
Okay. Even though it was intimidating, it wasn't overwhelming?
I think it's overwhelming in any respect, but okay. I think it's achievable. It's very achievable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not a kind of a class where you're going to take it and sit in the back and read a magazine and learn anything, because they're just coming at you really good. But there is opportunity for you to ask questions and to join study groups, I believe.
Oh yeah. And it's intensive in the respect that, you know, you're there for 8 hours and then you have homework at night, but you also have the ability to meet with your other people in your class and the instructors are available to you. So it's kind of like, I don't want to say 24/7, but it's long hours. But I think that's great, actually, for adult learners. They need to have all of that information packed in, especially people who are still working. They don't have the luxury of going to school for, you know, a year and a half to be able to learn.
Exactly. That's so. Well, was there anything in the training that really stood out to you as being interesting or, you know, an aha moment?
I can't think of any one thing. I think as the sum total of the whole thing, I kind of, because I was in healthcare for 22 years, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do anything else. And when I passed the tests with flying colors, the aha moment said, Lisa, you actually can get out of healthcare and do something else. So for me, that was amazing.
And I still think it's pretty impressive that you can leave healthcare, which is typically everybody thinks is a well-paying position, and make more money inspecting RVs than you can in healthcare.
Yeah, especially as a traveler, because travelers tend to make more money than the people who are at permanent positions.
Oh my, that's very cool.
Very cool.
So what types of RVs do you typically inspect? Do you specialize in one or the other?
We don't. We inspect anything from a Class B small to a Class A diesel pusher, huge. We actually, because we are located geographically near Lazy Days in Tampa, which is the largest dealership in the United States, we also have Camping World and General RV and RV One. So we actually do a ton of brand new units, even brand new units that were custom ordered. So people will come to the Tampa RV shows, and there's usually three a year, and they'll pick the model that they like, you know, the manufacturer that they like, and then they will have them kind of build whichever floor plan for them. So the order goes in up to Indiana and then it's shipped down here to Tampa, and they want to make sure that all the systems are working. And I will tell you with 100% certainty, there is not one RV that we've inspected, and we've done, between Jason and I, we've done over 450 inspections. Whoa. Yeah. And there is not one that did not have some type of either life safety or major issue that needed to be addressed before that customer took it off the lot.
Mm-hmm. So it is important to have an RV inspected if you're buying in even a brand new unit.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, our yesterday's inspection was canceled because the customer it was a brand new 2020 Jayco Class C, and the customer wanted the unit, but there were major defects in the flooring. So this dealership said, well, we can replace the flooring, and then you can we'll do that on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, your inspectors can come in and then you can pick it up on Friday. Well, we showed up on Thursday and the flooring wasn't finished. The bed was not installed. The sofa was not installed. The toilet was sitting in the shower. And so we kind of politely declined to be able to do the inspection. And we talked to our customer and it's scheduled for the next week. So what happens so many times is these dealerships need to get these RVs off the lot. And yesterday, today, is the end of the month. So at the end of the month, they're really pushing our customers, sign the paperwork. Even if there's things wrong, you can come back. Well, that's not the case. You can come back, but you will become a number in their queue. We have found, and we coach our customers, that it is much more effective to allow us to do, to allow the dealership to do their PDI so that they can get it ready for us to do our independent inspection. And then the dealership will have a couple to several days to fix anything. And then the customer should come and have their walkthrough and do the signing of the papers. And I think a realistic timeline is really what's missing from general public knowledge. It's mm-hmm. not like buying a car. You're not going to walk in the morning and walk out that evening or the next day with an RV unless they force you through the process. And when they do that, that's how Facebook pages are created, called, the horror story pages, right, and stuff like that, because people haven't done their own due diligence. And of course, they want to blame somebody else. But if you have an independent inspection, at least these things will be pointed out. Whether the dealership will negotiate with you, at least you know the state of the vehicle that day.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you inspect travel trailers as well, or do you focus only on the motorhomes?
Oh, no, we do travel trailers. We do a lot of fifth wheels, actually. Okay. Travel trailers, I think the misnomer in the general public is that, you know, I'm paying $20,000 or less for a travel trailer, so I don't want to spend, you know, between maybe $250 to $400 to get this travel trailer inspected. But when you think about the percentage of the cost of the vehicle that an inspection costs, you'll see the value in it. We inspected a brand new travel trailer for a customer of ours, and we actually traveled up to Ocala. So we took about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive up to Ocala, and there were such major issues. There was actually a tear in the roof membrane, and we had had some severe storms over the past several days. And so our recommendation was for the dealership to, you know, make sure that the wood underneath that tear in the rubber membrane didn't cause any type of water damage. Well, the dealership wanted that vehicle off the lot, and so our customer had to decline purchasing that unit because he didn't feel comfortable that they did their due diligence to make sure that water had not gotten into that unit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's a shame. Things like that. I have thousands of stories. I could tell you one after the other. It's vital for people, no matter what size, even if it's we did a 19-foot Class C inspection at Cruise America, and actually they did a really good job. It was high mileage, but there were definitely a couple of issues, but they send it through their shop and it actually turned out well. So any size of RV, from a 19 footer all the way up to 45 and 40, 46 feet diesel pushers, it's vital. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't buy a house without it, is right. What I keep telling everybody.
Do you work with dealers as partnerships? I mean, are you inspecting units for the dealers, or are you inspecting the units for customers at the dealer lots?
No, our catch line is we provide a third party, independent, unbiased inspection. So we have no stake in the game. We are there to report on what the RV tells us its condition is. We're working, as a matter of fact, Jason and I go so far as we do not have conversations with the salesperson or with a private seller about when to set up the inspection as far as appointment times go. We put the onus on our customer to have those conversations with the seller or salesperson so that our customers can be assured that we are not having conversations with the other party, so that we're working for them.
Okay. That's good to note. And do you do your inspections only in the Tampa or Central Florida area, or are you going outside of that region?
Well, my goal initially was to travel the United States. However, our marketing efforts and the volume of business is kind of keeping us here in Tampa, which is okay, except for days like today when the heat index is about at a 105 with the humidity almost as close. But mostly we go anywhere coast to coast Central Florida, from about Ocala to the north to Fort Myers in the south. But as I told you before, at any given time, there could be anywhere between 20 and 30 inspectors or inspector teams in Central Florida, and we still have enough business to keep us going. Now, with that being said, I will throw it in there. If anybody's looking to come to Central Florida because of the amount of inspections, I beg of you, please head on over to the Jacksonville, St. Augustine area or the Panhandle or South Florida, because all the inspectors seem to come to Central Florida, and we're really leaving Northern Florida and Southern Florida in the lurches. We don't have enough inspectors in those areas, but it's still a gorgeous part of the state and a great snowbird retreat for the winter time.
That's very good to note as well. The surge in inspectors comes primarily during the winter months, right? Like January, February, March. I mean, they're not 24 inspectors or 20 inspectors there in August as a general rule, is there?
That's true. However, there are how many are here now, Jason? Probably 8 inspectors and probably 10 or 12 here in Florida right now.
Okay. So it is a competitive market.
Yes, very much.
How long do your inspections typically take?
So Jason and I both go together. We start at 9 a.m. And even on a travel trip, we tell right in our pre-inspection checklist, it clearly states that it will be a minimum of 5 hours with both of us level twos doing the inspection, even on a travel trailer. Wow. Now on a diesel pusher, sometimes we're there past 7 or 8 hours. And then we come home and it takes us a few hours to assemble the report. And we use a software called Home Gauge, which is affiliated with the NRVIA. And we love Home Gauge. We utilize it to its fullest ability. And we put that report together and then we send it to our client. And then we have at least an hour long phone conversation, because our reports are overwhelming. It's a lot of information. They're over 100 pages and they have probably 200 pictures, and we include 360 degree photos because a lot of our clients are out of state, and we also have videos in there. So if the floor is squeaking, for example, we put that video in there. So you ask, how long does an inspection take? We say anywhere from 5 to 8 hours. But the reality of it is our workday is typically anywhere from 10 to probably 14, 15 hours. Wow. And we really like to get all of our information to the client that same day so that it's fresh in our mind and so that they can do their negotiation process, because everybody in the RV industry is in such a rush. Everybody's got to do everything yesterday, you know?
Absolutely. So do you start your inspections early and you get them done that day to help the customer? Does that mean you only do one inspection a day?
Absolutely.
Okay. Very good. That makes sense. And how do you price your inspections?
So our pricing, it goes according to class. It's based on the class of RV as well as the location of the RV. So we do have a radius, a 50-mile radius around our home, and then we assess travel charges after that. We don't do it by footage or by age. We do it by class. Okay. For example, if it's a toy hauler, we're doing the brand new toy haulers, and some of them have two patio decks, and it takes us a long time to get all of that inspected and put the patio decks up and down and rails and everything like that. So our toy haulers are a little pricier than our regular fifth wheels. And then, of course, our travel trailers are on the lower end, but still just as important.
Okay. But when you described all the stuff that goes into a report, I have never had a home inspection with that much detail done. I mean, you guys are putting in a lot of effort into finding every little thing. There's going to be no doubt in your customer's mind. There can't be that.
Oh yeah. This... If you have been to our Google page at My RV Inspection, we have 44 five-star reviews with 1 4-star review. So our customers just love what we do. We have 130 points of inspection and we go over every single one. And if we have a propane leak, I mean, we're doing 5 propane tests. So that in and of itself could take an hour or an hour and a half because we want to be sure that that's what's going on and it's not our faulty equipment.
And that's another reason why you need to have an RV inspected, because as a new person, you don't even know what questions to ask. And so,
exactly.
You know, I love it when you look on Facebook and people are talking about the problem with their RV and it's like, well, didn't you ask the dealer about this? And it's like, well, how would you know?
Right.
You've never owned one before. So, right.
You know, and Greg, that's a great point that you bring up, because when we're selling ourselves to our customers, we make sure that they know we're not just selling them an inspection. We're selling them an inspection as well as an education, because we also point out maintenance things that they should be doing based on what's installed in the unit that they're purchasing. And we also give them a lasting lifetime relationship. It's nothing for a past customer to call us and ask us either to inspect a second rig for them or ask us where they can find a transport company or where they can find somebody who can do mobile repairs for them. And they're not even in the state anymore. So mm-hmm. Our inspection is a lot more than just an inspection.
Okay. What do customers typically pay for an inspection? Can you describe the range?
So the range for us, and I'll be a little more specific. I know it's out there on Facebook that it can go anywhere from $250 to $1,200. Ours is a little more tight. We go anywhere from $350 to $1,000.
Okay. And so $350 would be for a typical smaller travel trailer, and $1,000 would be for like the 45-foot Class A, or even
If it has a tag axle, that's usually it. And then, you know, we offer fluid analysis as well. And so that's an additional fee, but fluid analysis can tell you quite a bit about, you know, what it's like blood work for your RV. So then that's mm-hmm. additionally on top of that.
Okay. All right. Are there any expenses that offset the income that you have for an inspection?
Definitely wear and tear on our vehicles. Gas, obviously, and mileage, but, you know, we'll pass some of that along to the customer. And then we have to keep up our tools. And, you know, we have 15-foot ladder, 21-foot ladder that we have to carry around, and our manometers have to be in good working order. Jason is very much a tool toy type of person. So we just bought our new GoPro Fusion. And so we use that. So electronics usually comes into play. Another funny thing. Well, I guess it's funny now because it's in hindsight. We used to use tablets to do our reports on. We have an app through HomeGauge and we were using a tablet. Well, we switched over to phones because it's much easier to carry and it has a flash on it. Well, when the cancellation occurred for the brand new Jayco we did the other day, we had those phones sitting on the toolbox on the bed of the truck.
No.
And so, yes, when we got home, we had one phone instead of two. Now, obviously, that was not passed along to the customer, but right. It is overhead for us.
Oops. Yeah, I can imagine. Oh, that's too bad. What did it cost you to start up your business?
Well, so all in all, like our experience is a little bit different because once again, Jason went pretty much straight into that FEMA disaster and that was quite lucrative. And that allowed us to put, you know, $4,000 to $5,000 into our website for SEO.
Oh my.
And that's a huge expense. And that comes after, you know, the trip to Athens for Jason plus classes and staying there. And then the trip to Athens for me and staying there for those 2 weeks. So, you know, I think we spent anywhere around probably close to $10,000 for Jason to get started. You have to figure in tools and everything like that. But the great thing about that is, especially for adults, it's a, first of all, it's a lot less than any trade school that I know of. And, you know, I mean, trade schools, I used to teach surgical technology, and it was nothing for them to go to school and pay 25 grand for a 9-month course.
That's right. Yes.
So it's definitely more affordable than that. But then you can't just factor that in. You know, we had to start our LLC. We actually have a prepaid legal service that we pay every month so that we can send them different contracts and stuff to have them check some wording specific to our state of Florida or for when we travel. We also have the whole website marketing tool. And like I said, that costs us anywhere from $4,000 to $5,000. And then you have insurance and anything business or legal that you have to do. And we also, Jason and I do something a little different too. We go to the trade shows, like I mentioned before about the Tampa RV shows. So the January Super Show is the biggest RV show in the nation. Well, I guess maybe Hershey is, I think, close. Yeah. Either way, 75,000 to 80,000 people go through the January Super Show, and we rent booths down there. And that costs us a little less than $1,000. But when we came back from Hurricane Irma, well, when Jason came back from Hurricane Irma, he probably spent a good $20,000 in marketing swag. We bought bags. We bought pens to give away. We bought the backdrop. We bought a 17-foot flag. So I think when we stepped back from it all and we saw the amount of money that we spent on marketing, but it made us so successful. And we have people who call, you know, calling us months after the RV show. We knew it was well worth it. But once we saw the sum total of what we spent on marketing, that's when we got the idea. We probably need to help everybody else so they don't have to spend $4,000 to $5,000 on the SEO and $10,000 on booth space. Mm-hmm. So that's why we decided to go ahead and start the new website, myrvresource.com. And right now it's a map-based locator, and people will pay us a couple of $100 a year. And we are working with an SEO guy who is well known in the industry for working on projects like RV Share and Rover Pass. And we're hoping to cut the expenses. If everybody puts in a little, then we all should gain a lot.
Okay. Are people paying you to do the marketing for them, or are you just providing this kind of knowledge?
It's going to be all of that.
Okay.
We started just at the end of the year last year. And so, yes, they're paying us to be listed. And part of that listing becomes a community of inspectors that can talk to each other and ask questions. We're going to have some Zoom meetings and things like that. And we're also doing the marketing for that website. Actually, the super show that's coming up next January, hopefully, if it goes on with all of COVID, because they've canceled everything this year, we actually have secured two booth spaces. So one booth space will be My RV Inspection, and one booth space will be My RV Resource. And when we piloted it last year and asked our customers last year if they thought that it would be a valuable resource to have a website that included RV inspectors, RV mobile techs, and other specialty services like transport companies and driving schools and towing companies and upholstery repair and roof repair, if that would be something that would be a valuable asset for them to have. And everybody, we've got great feedback from that. So we're trudging on. It's a little tough right now. Like I said, we're doing 4 inspections a week right now. So once it slows down a little bit here and the beginning of the fall, we'll have our SEO guy working in the background and we can be working in the foreground. And I really think it's going to take off, and I think it's going to help a lot of people. And I'm very excited about that.
That's neat. Once it's fully developed, we might have to do a separate podcast on that.
I'd love to do that.
Okay. Very good. What are, you said you do 4 inspections a week and they've got all these inspectors down there. Is there enough demand to make money as an inspector?
Greg, I'll tell you, our customers want us to do 7 inspections a week. I purposely make Jason take the 5th workday off so that I can do some things like this and so that I can do my admin day. I take an admin day once a week. I will tell you, there are the 4 groups of us. We've got Ken and Renee Weinsma, who are down south. We've got Chris Klusner, who is over to the west of us. And we've got Al Pierce, who's up to the north of us. And we're the main ones who are here all year, all the time. Al does some traveling, but either way, we are all booked at least for a week at this point. So people are calling us today, Friday, and we're telling them we're not available until next Friday. And then we're calling Ken and Renee to say, hey, are you available next Monday or Tuesday? Because our this one fell through and we can't get to it, and they're not available either. So,
okay. That's Florida. Do you think it's the same situation nationwide?
So I think that there are pockets. I think that the Carolinas are a hot spot. I think that we've got Rob up in Chicago who travels quite a bit. He covers a lot more states. So his pricing is definitely different because of that reason, and rightfully so. But he's a hot market. I've got friends in Colorado who are quite busy. They're still working full-time jobs, but I know that I think Gwen and Bobby are booked out for a month because they're doing inspections on the weekend. So there are definitely hot spots. However, the NRVIA sends us all lists out of where inspectors are needed. And so I think that that is a very good avenue to find out if somebody wanted to take the time to do that research. I think that you could pinpoint where the inspections are needed. I see a lot in the Pacific Northwest, a lot of needs in the Pacific Northwest. I see a lot of needs in California. I see a lot of needs in Ohio. And we don't have enough inspectors. We need more inspectors.
Right. Well, we know for a fact that there are 400,000 new RVs at least sold every year in America by the brand new ones made by the manufacturers. And there are 9 million existing RV owning households, and some of them are resold every year.
And exactly. Yeah,
there's a tremendous number of a tremendous opportunity out there for people who see this as a business.
And it's funny that you say that, because when COVID hit, we got busier and the manufacturers stopped working, but the dealerships in our area stayed open. Lazy Days at one point, and probably still today, they're selling 50 units a day. A day. And we're only doing 1 or 2 or 3 at Lazy Days. And Chris might be doing 1 or 2 or 3 at Lazy Days. We got to get the word out there, but we got to have more bodies to do it. And the manufacturers are just slapping them together because, you know, they weren't working for a little while. So everybody needs to catch up. And our supply chain is crazy right now, whether it's the RV industry or the toilet paper industry. I mean,
that's right. That's right.
COVID has definitely turned a corner for us, though. We are busier than we've ever been. And last year, Jason did 15 inspections in 14 days. And this year, how many have we done in July? We've done 17 this July.
Wow.
And we don't work weekends.
Okay.
On purpose. They want us to, but we won't.
So you've been busy. Yes. How do you find your customers?
Most, I will tell you, the bulk of our customers come from Google, because I have a great Google My Business page set up, and Facebook. We're really ramping up our Facebook social media ads and looking forward to learning more about Twitter and Instagram as well. But right now we have a, a question on our form to ask people. So between Google and Facebook and some from the NRVIA locator, that's mostly where we get it. But our SEO guy, who was a friend of another inspector, really did an outstanding job with my RV inspection. And so most of our business comes from Google, but that's because we spent $4,000 or $5,000 with him all at once. So,
okay. And that's a one-time cost, really. I mean, it's not like you're having to update your website every month for it to be.
That's true.
Right.
Okay. Although we would like to, we just don't have time to.
I understand. So most of your business, you don't do any advertising then, really, right? You've invested your money on your website and the search engine optimization, and you have a presence on Facebook.
Yeah. We found that, we started to do the pound in the pavement kind of thing and buying a bunch of business cards and dropping them off. And we just didn't find that we got any customers from that. That was part of when we were doing repairs as well. Jason paid for Google AdWords when we were doing repairs, but he was paying $300 or $400 a month to get business out of that. Inspectors or techs will have to decide whether that is something, that they want to budget in, but that's pretty pricey, I think, to do Google AdWords. We've done a couple of bad ideas, like, somebody from a golf course called and asked us if we wanted to be advertised on there, and we spent $400 on that, and that didn't get us anything. Stories that we actually initiated with RV Trader so that we could get some impressions on their website, and their cost was astronomical. It was $1,500 and we got 30 clicks and only two of them went to our actual website. So if anybody's thinking about trying to do on RV Trader, the manufacturers and the dealerships have that on lockdown and they've got a good thing going there. So it's not worth your money to do that.
Good to note. Yeah. I know that when you're in business, it just seems like people come out of the woodwork wanting you to advertise with them. And you never know. You might have to experiment because something might work really well.
But, and I'll tell you too, we don't use Yelp because Yelp doesn't have an RV inspector category. And so we've kind of shied away from that for a good long time. But there are inspectors out there, Rob in Chicago with Pro RVI, as a matter of fact, he uses Yelp and it's working well for him. So you definitely do have to pick and choose.
Okay. Have you encountered any challenges in running your business?
Getting set up, I think, once you make the decision, do I go LLC? Is it a sole proprietorship? And I still don't understand all of that stuff. Jason has helped me and we've retained an accountant to help us make some of those decisions. So that's a challenge. Learning how to sell yourself, it can be quite a dilemma. Obviously I have no problem talking, but for other people that is a challenge. So that's definitely something to think about.
Okay. Very good. But as far as government entities and things like that, there haven't been any challenges in getting your licenses and setting up your tax entity and all that?
No, we haven't had any here in Florida. But of course, we haven't done any traveling either. So if you're going to be doing traveling, I know you have to look at your state sales tax and make sure that you're paying the right people and stuff. So for us, that wasn't an issue yet. Hopefully, if I get to travel at any time in the future, we might run into that problem.
You don't have any employees, right?
We do not.
Okay.
We don't intend to.
Right. The business is designed in a way for a couple, ideally, to do it together.
It really is. Although I do know of some inspectors, I think in Texas, who do, maybe it's a father and son kind of thing, or, a guy who employs a couple of inspectors. And I think that would work as well. You could do more than one a day, but ideally it does work well for teams. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Greg, a lot of inspector teams start out with the wife who isn't certified. And so she kind of goes through and does like windows and blinds and furniture and none of the testing portions of that. And I'll tell you, when Jason was in his accident last January, he wasn't able to schlep that ladder around and get up on the roof and crawl underneath to the inspect the tires and the chassis. So I had to kind of step up and do that. And now what that has done, it's given me the confidence to be able to do that, those types of things. And now I do the roof, tire, and chassis, and Jason does sidewalls and slide outs. And then this way we minimize our time outside so we can in the morning so that we can spend the afternoon inside in the AC here in Tampa. So,
okay. Would you have any advice, any last minute advice? This will be the last question for people who are interested in becoming inspectors. Is it a good idea?
I think it's definitely a good idea. I think that you can work as little or as much as you want. And I think another word of advice would be to reach out to somebody else who's done it before and ask them what's worked and what's not. I probably have a lot more. I mean, mm-hmm. I could get into the brass tacks of specifically learn how to use Home Gauge because it's a great tool. Make sure you have a good website with some good SEO. Don't let your cousin's niece's nephew do that for you. Mm-hmm. Have a Google My Business profile and actually, the biggest word of advice, answer your phone, return phone calls, and answer your emails.
Yes.
Because there's nothing worse than a customer or another inspector trying to get a hold of you because you have a listing on the NRVIA page, but you don't get back to them. Mm-hmm. That doesn't help any of us, customer or professional.
Right.
Answer your emails and answer your phone.
Do you suggest that within a specific time frame? I mean, you don't want the interruption while you're inspecting an RV. I wouldn't imagine. Maybe you do take phone calls, but certainly within a couple hours.
We do take phone calls. We definitely take phone calls, and our phones are in our pockets at all time. We have our Gmail set up on our phone. So Jason and I actually take a lunch break every day. We find it's just better. We can stop, decompress, kind of talk to each other about what's going on with the RV. And we have a neat little tool in Gmail called Canned Responses. And so when people say I need an inspection on a toy hauler at Lazy Days, within 2 to 3 minutes, we can have that email set up and sent out so that our customers know what their next step needs to be. So super. Like I said, I could get into a lot of brass tacks about specific things, but yeah, it's worth your time to take that phone call. Even if you just say, I can't talk to you right now, but right. I really want to talk to you later.
And that's a very good point. At least you've made that contact and opened that door.
Mm-hmm.
Super. Thank you so much, Lisa. This has been a wealth of information, and I wish you and Jason a lot of good luck in this inspection
Thanks, Greg.
Business. I really appreciate Lisa Sarver with MyRV Inspection for taking time from her schedule to talk to us in such an open way about what it would take to become an RV inspector and how it really is a viable business opportunity. You know it must be possible to make good money inspecting RVs when it outpays work as a traveling healthcare professional. I also like that Lisa and Jason will politely decline to do an inspection if they arrive on site and discover the RV is obviously not in condition it needs to be in for a thorough inspection to be completed. Sometimes sellers try to convince buyers to move ahead with purchases of incomplete units with a promise of fixing items later. But Lisa advises people not to sign paperwork until the RV is thoroughly inspected and absolutely ready to be used. Otherwise, buyers simply become a number in a service department queue to get the work done after the sale. Lisa likes her inspection business because of how it helps so many people feel confident about their purchases or by avoiding RVs that could be costly to own or fix later. Many times, people entering the RV lifestyle don't even know what questions to ask about the condition of an RV, and dealers and independent sellers are unlikely to volunteer that information. So having an inspection done is a necessity, and that creates business opportunities for people like Lisa and Jason who want to inspect RVs. She offered some great advice for promoting an inspection business, but Lisa and Jason took it a step further by creating MyRVResource.com to help inspectors and technicians launch their own companies and connect with customers. So with the right marketing, full or part-time RV inspectors can find customers wherever they go. And even if you don't do it full-time, inspecting RVs would be an excellent supplemental income to just about any other work camping job. For more information about becoming a certified RV inspector, visit the National RV Inspector Association's website at www.nrvia.org. If you'd like to get started in training to become an RV inspector or mobile RV technician, you can find information about courses offered by the National RV Training Academy by visiting www.nrvta.com. Whether it is running a business from your RV or working short-term jobs for a variety of employers, Work Camper News can give you information to help you plan a course to live your own dream and get you on the road faster than you thought possible. For more information about opportunities to live, work, and play in your RV, visit www.workcampernews.com. That's all we have for this week's show. Next week, we're going to talk with a major employer about opportunities at several locations around the country, and the firm is hiring right now. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of The Work Camper Show.